Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Ladies that Zoom together, quarantine together. It's Ladies Monday with Sarah Gretzky, and of course we've got producer Tori on.
Oh, hey.
Wait, Sarah, you're back in LA, right?
Yes, we are back.
Because you were in the cabin for a while.
We went up to the mountains for like a month, and then things got a little crazy. We were like, we need to get home. You know, we just needed to come home.
Did you miss, like, because it's like, I can't imagine not being quarantined in my house. That's why I have so much empathy for people who are not home.
Well, I'm just really happy to be home because it's nice to, you know, be in the LA weather. And even though we can't be outside, there's just something about like the sunshine and like opening my blinds and seeing sun that like just makes my soul feel better. So we're back in our cozy apartment. But
how is being back in such a confined space?
I mean, yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's just funny because I talk to like my sister or my parents and they're like, oh, this is, you know, this is tough. And I'm like, you have a backyard. Like I would kill for a backyard. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I being in an apartment, I don't know how everyone in New York, I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, those, you're all stuffed on top of each other in apartments. It's tough.
So are you going out for walks as much as you can? Because that's something definitely where I'm grateful for the nice weather that's been happening in Nashville. So like we've been able to go outside, and obviously, you know, the house we were in LA was a, you know, 1400 square foot house. So I mean, we're so blessed to be able to be in the house here in Nashville and be able to go outside, and it's supposed to be like 80 degrees this weekend. So I'm like, all right, we might go swimming. So it's like, I feel like I can't really complain because it's so nice out.
You know? I'm gonna have FOMO of you guys in your pool. No, but it's crazy because when we came home, we were like, okay, I mean, we have dogs, so we're used to going on walks three times a day. Everyone in LA is on a walk now. And so it's almost like you can't eat. I mean, we're on the sidewalk and we're dodging people. And so now we've kind of made our times. We either go like really early or really late at night. Cause I'm like, this is the new grocery store. Like everyone's out. Everyone now has a dog. And
are people wearing masks?
Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing masks. So we wear them when we walk our dogs, and it's crazy that it's the reality, but at the beginning, it kind of like scared me. I don't know. It's kind of scary, like seeing people in masks. Cause I'm like, I just want to see I miss seeing your face. I don't even know who you are, but I just want to see your face. But
yeah. Tori, where are you at right now?
I am in Lake Arrowhead. So I'm at my parents' cabin. So there's a lot of social distancing because no one really is. There's lots of land in between.
Sure. Do you enjoy it though?
It's a lot better than being at my apartment because like the other day when I was there grabbing mail, I forgot my mask when I was walking around and I became the most hated person of 2020. I had never felt more judged before. I had never felt more just guilty because everyone's so close to each other. So it's nice feeling less anxious that I'm like ruining people's lives if I forget a mask or something, you know?
How is it being like at the parents though? Are they on your nerves?
A little bit, but I think we're all feeling that. So we're all kind of finding our corners and spaces. My whole family actually has been quarantining for the past like month now together. So it's my nieces, my nephew, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, like everyone is in this cabin. So it's been a little packed, but weirdly, I think that we've been so isolated from people that we're enjoying almost having, even if it is confrontational moments, you're almost kind of enjoying that.
Sure. I know. I kind of miss, like, we're RVing now up to the 4th. So that way we don't get on an airplane so we can actually see my grandparents. Cause I'm like, I miss my family. Like, I don't want to have to, if we fly, then we'll have to, you know, who knows what's going to happen in July, but we're trying to be proactive. Cause I'm like, I want to see my grandparents. Like, I miss my family.
I was like, I would do anything to be annoyed by my sisters right now. Like I wish my mom was yelling at me. I wish my dad was asking me to go on a run. Like I just miss my parents.
This is just crazy because it's like this has been like your first few months of marriage has been this It's just, it has to be interesting. But again, I kind of feel like that's a blessing maybe in a way, because you're still in that honeymoon phase, or no.
Or like Wayne was like, wow, like how cool that you guys are getting to spend, you know, your first like 2 months, like 24/7 with each other. Like, I would love that. And then other people are like, wow, you guys have not left each other's side since you said I do. Are you going crazy? And I think if we wouldn't have been together for so long, it would have been crazy. But like, we've lived together for 2 years. We've done the thing, you know, we know, but today I cracked. Today I was.
Oh no. Tell me more. What happened?
No, not cracked, but we're both very like I'll go into my room. He'll be on the couch. Like, we're very like chill and calm. And I just woke up this morning and I just felt suffocated. I just felt, I was like, I need to make the bed, get out of the bed. What are you still doing here? Like, go somewhere. He's like, where am I going to go? I'm like, I don't know. Just let me clean the house. Like, and I kind of snapped, but it's always like premenstrual, you know, I found now in those 3 months that it's always just a couple days where I just snap. But other than that.
For sure. I feel the same thing. Like, you know, this morning, you know, Mike had slept in, I had the kids early. And so it's like, you know, I'm doing my thing, you know? So when he wakes up, I'm like, hey, good morning. And it's like, I'm already in my like, and he's just like, oh, good morning. I was like, no, hi. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just like, I've already done the dishes and cleaned the kids' rooms and did laundry and yay, how'd you sleep? But I just couldn't meet him there. So I think he got a little annoyed with me but I'm just like, when I get in my like working mode, it's almost like, hi, okay, get out of my way, you know, so I can finish cleaning let me make the bed now that you're up. And so when I get in that mode, I have a hard time having, I guess, empathy for others around me because I'm so narrow-minded in work. Does that make sense?
No, I'm the same because I like a plan. Like, I like a day. I like to set my day. And this is just throw it all out the window. There's no plan. But I'm like, well, today I'm going to organize the bathroom. He's like, there's nothing in the bathroom. What are you going to organize? I'm like, I don't know. Just let me do it.
Right.
Like, don't ask me questions. And then I'm going to clean. I'm like, I just got to do it. But we've actually been watching a lot of good shows. So I feel like.
Ooh, what shows? Because we just finished Waco and whoa.
So we're about to start that.
It's so good.
So we're about to start that. We just finished McMillions on HBO. Wild. It's about the like Monopoly scandal.
Oh, I saw that on your Instagram.
I'm very like, I get very bored very easily. No, I was so hooked into this. It's just because it's so interesting and I don't remember it. I was young, but I definitely went to McDonald's. I wanted to win. But
was it really stolen?
Oh, $24 million.
Because I mean, we would go and like my brother had the thing and it was on the cup, I think, where you would peel it, or was it on the French fries? I don't remember. But he would do it, and I would remember like we'd kept getting the same one over and over again. But I don't understand how that could be rigged. Did the person go to every McDonald's, or did he make the game? Tell me. Oh,
I want to so badly, but every episode was set. It's HBO, so it's a very well put together documentary. They almost kind of made it mirror like a movie.
Ooh.
So Ty and I were like, did not see that coming. Like, you feel like it's a show because it's too crazy to be real. But
have you seen Waco? Tori?
I have not. Is that the...
That's the cult leader, David Koresh, Vidians. I don't want to say that wrong, but they were all living in this compound. I'm not going to give it away. Y'all should watch it. I had to leave the room the last episode because I'm like, I can't watch this.
Is it a true story?
The last 20 minutes, it's a true story. It happened in, I think, the 80s, late 80s, 90s. And I, for real... got up from bed and Michael's like, where are you going? I'm like, I can't watch this. Like the last 20 minutes, I was like, I can't, like, let me know when it's over but it's so good. Cause in the very beginning, it's about this cult leader. In the very beginning, I'm like, well, what's the problem with it? And minus the polygamy and all that stuff, not saying polygamy is wrong, but you know, there was some maybe wrongful, there was definitely wrong things that were happening for sure. But I'm like, well, his message, you know? And so that's, I'm like, well, that's what it's, you know, that's why they're so good, those leaders.
It's crazy because I was I was really into like Chip and Joanna Gaines. Like, I love them. I watched their show, read their books. And that was kind of, they never said it, but I think that's why they kind of blew up so big, because for so long, no one knew where Waco, Texas was. And the only thing they knew about it, if they had heard of it, was that. And so for Chip and Joanna to really put them back on the map in such a good way, I forget how many like visitors come to Waco or used to go to Waco for their silos, but they completely like now when you think Waco, Texas, you think Chip and Joanna. And it's like for so long, all you heard about was that. So crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
But we're going to start it.
Oh, it's so good. Taylor Kitsch did an amazing job. He did incredible.
He's one of Ty's friends, and he had actually been telling us, he lives in Austin, so he had told us about it before, kind of, you know, how he was like getting into it and this and that. And me and Ty were like, this is going to be weird. And then everyone's like, he's unbelievable.
I didn't even recognize, like, I mean, I obviously knew it was him, but I was just like, wow, like was so good in it. Guys, in the 2 minutes, so excited because we have a One Tree Hill reunion. Hillary Burton is going to be zooming in with us. So excited to talk to her. But first, let's take a break. Hillary, hi, friend.
How are you holding up?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we're just going to go right into it. Hillary Burton's on the show. I love you so much. And this is our guest co-host, Sarah Gretzky, who's also on right now.
What's Hi. Up?
So your Instagram post the other day, I loved it. You were showing off the silver lining. And I just was like, you showed, you know, your gray is coming in. And
yeah, I
thought
I can't
it was the
hide
most.
It.
But it was beautiful. Like, you look beautiful.
Thanks. I have ventured out a couple times to either drop off masks, or we have a drive-through pharmacy that, you know, we can go to. And I see these people that I've known for years putting their job and putting, you know, all of us before their own self-care. Everybody's saying, oh, you have to practice self-care. You have to practice self-care. And that's not necessarily a practical thing for a lot of our frontline and essential workers. And so if they can see me with, you know, a couple inches of gray hair, and we can normalize it a little bit. Why not? Who am I trying to impress? Jeffrey's stuck with me. So
agreed.
Same. Cause, and you guys are in, right? Sarah, she just got married. So she's in like the honeymoon quarantine phase.
The poor guy saw me at a 10, and now we've really just, I've got
happy
blue
honeymoon.
Chip nails. Yeah.
I told Michael the other day, I was like, hey, look at my feet. I've got a French manicure. I didn't even do it myself. The toes just grew out like the nail polish.
Fancy. Just like, yeah, that's like 10 steps beyond where I'm at right now. I've turned into just like a Neanderthal, which is fine.
Fine.
You know, it's good. We had been living at an unsustainable pace of stay young, stay cute, don't have cellulite, make sure you're waxed and all that kind of crap. And now it's just like, did I feed the children? Great. Sure.
It's so interesting though, too, because it's like, you know, I'm going to get real vain here, but I was like, I've had eyelashes for the past 10 years and, you know, I've, you know, been dyeing my hair. And honestly, now I'm like, I don't want to get eyelashes anytime soon again. I'm fine without it. And I kind of, I'm like, I want to go back to being brown. It's just something about the natural, it just feels more comforting in a weird way.
It's like a natural reset for every part of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's more than just vanity. I think we're looking at it, particularly our generation. So like a lot of us are mothers at this point. And I think we're looking at what our children are experiencing from us. And do I want my son to see me standing in front of a mirror working on how I look? Or do I want him to see me actively trying to help other people, support other people? The optics that we put in front of our children right now are pretty important because they don't get a break from us. There's no teacher. There's no other adult. Literally, it's just us. So the optics of what we're showing our kids is, you know, something.
Shout out to all the moms. I've said it once. I'll say it again. I can't imagine. I don't have kids. So shout out to the moms right now because I can't even imagine.
Hillary, are you homeschooling?
You know, I had an interesting conversation with my son's teacher when everything first started, because I pulled him from school a week early. You know, it's bad New York, and it was bad New York early. And I posted a picture on Instagram. I want to say it was like February 3rd I posted a picture of me wearing a mask on an airplane and everybody gave me a huge ration of shit for it and was just like, oh, you're overreacting. But I could feel something bad happening. And so I pulled him from school a week early. And then when schools in New York finally did let out, I talked to his teacher and I was like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I don't care if we repeat fourth grade. Like if he graduates at 19 instead of 20 or instead of 18, I definitely don't care. I'm just really glad you and your husband and your family are okay. Mm-hmm. So no pressure on you. And she relayed that she hadn't necessarily gotten a lot of that. You know, a lot of people are concerned, like, how do we stay on course? And how do we keep our kids from falling behind? And this is an opportunity for us to throw away that kind of aggressive ambition of we've got to get ahead. We can't fall behind. If our kids are just learning to be solid members of families, you know, helping around the house, if they're learning to see different parts of their community and how valuable they are, that's an important thing. You know, so Gus is pretty self-motivated. He does his own like math worksheets and stuff like that, but mom is not sitting down at the computer like going through stuff.
Well, and that's kind of in the very beginning, I felt a little bit of pressure because I kept seeing all these posts about, you know, mom's homeschooling and I'm like, okay. And then I had to kind of sit myself down and I'm like, I'm like, Jana, Jolie's four, you know? So it's like, she's like, you know, she's not even in, you know, kindergarten yet. But, and so I'm really only working, and she only went to preschool 3 days a week anyways at the time. So I was like, okay, fine. Let's not do it every day. Let's do it the 3 times a week again. And if it's 15 minutes, great. You know, and I'm just not putting pressure because I found myself being like, Jolie, you just said that was D. Why are you now calling it E? And I'm like, why? I was like, whoa. I'm like, I'm not a parent. Like I'm not a teacher. I can't like, and I just found myself like losing patience and that's not what I want for my daughter. So instead I took her out there and I'm like, okay, let's go outside and, you know, find things that start with the letter G. And like, I made it more fun for me too, you know?
Well, I have so much respect for teachers. So how dare I assume that I can just do their job? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's really arrogant. I can't do a teacher's job. I'm an idiot. I'm an actor.
How's it been on the relationship? Because me and Sarah talked earlier in the episode about how it's just like the little things. We're kind of like, eh, like, stop.
Yeah, you know, we live on this 100-acre farm. So when Jeff is home from work, we're used to quarantining. We're used to being on top of each other and not seeing anyone else because that has always been sacred time for our family. Mm-hmm. So we're still kind of in that bubble. Dad's never been home for this long. So the kids are super into it. And for me, it's nice having a grown-up here. You know, when he's shooting The Walking Dead, I'm here by myself. So every day, I'm just so grateful that I can pawn the children off on him. And there's not a lot of time for us. We started doing this.
I know I want to talk about the Friday night in with the Morgans. What can viewers expect?
It's honestly like the 1 hour a week that we get to hang out without the kids and just like have grown-up time. And I didn't realize how bad we needed that. I think he did. And so he put the wheels in motion and was just like, we're going to take a breath. You're wound up. Let's take a breather.
Where's the show? So it's on AMC, but how long? And
yeah, it comes on AMC Fridays at 10 PM and Fridays have always been their night for just showing movies. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think anyone was anticipating this like weird half hour break with these two people in their garage. But we've aired 2 episodes and they've been great. You know, we've got friends from the AMC family, friends from jobs that we've done in the past. And then we also have people from our community. So it's not just a bunch of celebrities or actors sitting around talking about themselves. You know, in our first episode, we had our personal physician that came in and gave a lot of insight and answered some questions that viewers had. And then we had our local farming guru who taught us everything about farming. And we talked about, you know, how we source our food now. And so this coming week we have, oh God, who do we have? Oh, we have Kate. She is a woman that I made friends with in town who runs all our town fundraisers. So as we're all trying to figure out how we can support our communities, she gives some really sound advice for people who are looking to jump into that.
That's awesome. And I want to talk about your new book that's coming out, The Rural Diaries, coming out on May 5th. But I have to ask you just a few One Tree Hill questions, because obviously there's so many. Do you ever get sick of people talking about One Tree Hill?
You know what I did? No. I did. If I can be perfectly frank, I did before all the Mark stuff came out. Because everyone was so like, oh, that was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. And there was this thing in the back of my mind, like, it wasn't that wonderful for some of us. And by letting that truth go and putting it out there and not having that nagging secret anymore, it's really allowed me to reclaim the hard work that I put into that show.
And are you able to like go back and, you know, be like, oh, that was a good memory and he can't take that one away from me?
The good memories for me are with our crew in North Carolina. I was very, very close to our crew in North Carolina. And with the cast, because we grew up together. I mean, Sophia Bush and I were 20 when we got cast, and our birthdays are only 7 days apart. And wow. So she and I turned 21 the exact same week, season one, episode three, you know, and we hit Wilmington like a freaking tornado, and it was awesome. And so those are the things I hang on to. But I don't have to pretend about the other shit anymore. So it's really lightened it for me.
That's good. Was there an episode that has always stood out to you?
In terms of what I enjoyed?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we knew something special was happening at the state championship episode. It was season four, the Ravens go to, was it four? I don't know what season was.
But I know there's some.
Chad and I were told, they're like, listen, you only get two takes. We have to shoot it with this like big, huge crane. All these extras are going to go away. So you get zero chances to mess this up. It has to look like the best kiss ever. And we're like, okay. But it was great because we were all on a field trip in Raleigh. We would all like go to the hotel bar afterwards and have a good time. And it was a really nice, it was a nice field trip to go on with everybody.
Did you have any regrets leaving, or was it something like you knew that you were ready?
I don't regret that at all. I knew that I needed to start something new. Sure. It was time. I had a big chip on my shoulder and I needed to just put it down.
Hey, Tori, I know you have a question you want to ask. Go for it, babe.
Hi. Are you happy with the way you guys ended your story, you and Lucas, like the drive away scene? Did you have any part in that, or would you have changed it in any way?
No, I was really happy with that. You know, Chad and I had been in the pilot and, you know, we'd been setting up the whole Lucas Peyton star-crossed lovers thing the whole run of our time on the show. So I was really happy with that happy ending, you know, like the marriage and the baby, family complete, because that's what both of those characters had always been looking for. Lucas never had a dad. Peyton's parental situation was deeply fucked up. Can I say that? and so they both got that kind of nuclear family that they'd always been craving. And frankly, I was a little concerned that if I stayed on the show, that it would get messed with for dramatic purposes. So sometimes it's better to cut out in a good spot.
Did you ever
last
think
one, Tori? Last one. I'm your publicist now. Last one.
Just literally, did you guys know that you were going to end up together, or was there like each time you got the script, was it going to be like, oh, is it going to be me, or is it going to be?
Well, in the beginning, it was like, oh yeah, you know, Peyton and Lucas, and then Brian Greenberg came on the show. And it was like, Peyton and Jake, what's that about? That's cool. And I had been told at that point, which must have been like season three, like, oh no, Brooke and Lucas are endgame and Jake and Peyton are endgame. And I was like, huh, interesting. Okay. And I think that was just to throw me off, honestly, because the game plan ended up being exactly what it had been in the beginning. So I think that was just to throw me off a little bit, which made me make different choices as an actor. Sometimes you have to lie to actors.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't let the whole situation, you know, with the creator, you know, ruin that for you. Because that's, you know, you, like you said, you worked your ass off and, you know, you should hold on to, you know, the good memories from it and not let someone, you know, especially a man, take that away from you. So I'm glad that you're happy.
You know, we had fun.
Yeah, it, you know, it's a small town and everyone's young. And, you know, I know like when I came on there, it was already very clicky and had their clicks. And it was just, it was very hard to tiptoe in, you know?
So when it's your first job, right? Like I'd worked at MTV, but when I was at MTV, it was very taboo to hang out with the talent. Like when your guest came on, like you didn't go out with Nelly for drinks afterwards. Like you didn't try
fun,
to hit
but yeah.
Timberlake, you know? That was tacky. It's like we're crew, they're talent, separate. Yeah. So for me on the show, I had to relearn how to hang out with talent and get over that kind of obstacle of what I'd been trained with. When you're young and you're in a small town and it's your first acting job, you don't know what's toxic. Mm-hmm. You don't know what normal is. So when I took my first job after that, white collar, and I fully expected it to be the same exact deal, and it wasn't. It was so loving. It was so tender. It was so protective. And I remember being in the van with a bunch of the writers from the show, kind of laughing, telling them some of the stuff that had gone down on One Tree Hill. And one of the men just stopped me and was like, baby, that's not okay.
Did he say baby? No, I'm kidding.
Baby.
Baby.
He was a baby girl. That's not okay.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And it was... that was a really jarring moment. And I all of a sudden was so embarrassed. Mm. Like, oh yeah. No, that was my normal. So working all these subsequent jobs and learning what normal is has been really rewarding. And it's good to see really honest, wonderful people in our industry because there's so many of them.
For sure. That's awesome. Okay. Tell us about The Rural Diaries. That's coming out May 5th. It's a book that you wrote and like, give us everything, the inspiration, what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, I started writing it right when I joined social media because I saw this whole facade of, isn't my life glamorous? And that had always kind of been my resistance to joining social media because I didn't want to feed into that false narrative. So I started writing this book about leaving LA and leaving a place that made me feel very insecure and small and moving to this rural farming community where I'm isolated on a farm. For the first time in my life, there's not an audience, you know. I have to learn to like myself. And that was really, really hard. Mm-hmm. So maybe a lot of the steps people are going through in quarantine right now, where they're isolated and they're dealing with just themselves for the first time. I feel like I kind of did that in moving here. And it's not pretty all the time. It's messy. And I wanted to cop to my failures so that other people who may be feeling vulnerable or insecure can see it as a roadmap of like, okay, well, this is how I get out of this. I was fortunate enough that when I was pretty low, there were books out there that really helped me navigate my own feelings. And so, you know, that's the job of an artist. You help people navigate. And mm-hmm. So if our book can do that, cool.
What's the one thing that gets you down the lowest, like your insecurity, and then what helps you, you know, get out of that place?
Oh man. I'm a pleaser and I try really, really hard. And so sometimes when I'm in situations and I've tried too hard, I walk away and I just know that everyone's exhausted by me. Or they're laughing at me, or they're skeptical of, you know, like I worry that I overwhelm people. And then I just have to get out of my own head and remind myself, like, I tried, you know, and trying is the bravest thing a person can do. And I'm not going to succeed every time I try. I'm just not. But if mm-hmm. I succeed some of the time, that's a win. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
It's almost like setting expectations for yourself in a way.
I set really high expectations. I think when you're one of a lot of kids, you find your way to get attention. And my way to get attention was always by being like, ta-da, I'm going to make straight A's and I'm going to be the president of every club and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then people don't like you because you're too loud.
But you're like trying. It's like, look, look, look. I'm like, yeah.
I'm trying so hard to do mm-hmm. good. And so it's more important to focus on the people that do like you and nurture those real relationships as opposed to worrying about the anonymous other that thinks you're a big dork.
For sure. Well, Hillary, I'm so excited to read your book. It's out May 5th, Rural Diaries. I'm like rural. Rural Diaries.
Just like, why the hell did you call it that? It's so hard.
No, it's not. It's just me. I can't talk. So Rural Diaries out May 5th. And then make sure to watch Friday Night In with the Morgans. Airs Fridays at 10 p.m. on AMC. Hillary, thank you for always being so sweet. I know I met you for the first time just a few months ago. And you're so sweet, so inviting. And I appreciate your energy and your light. So thank you.
I love that you do this show. Thank you so much.
Of course, Hillary. Thanks for coming on. We love you.
Yeah. Bye, baby. Stay safe.
Oh, I love her.
You are a shining star. I just let you take it and run.
Well, I, you know, because I didn't want to call you out on saying you didn't watch one, you know, I feel like.
For a moment, I like found myself as a podcaster and I was just listening. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really interesting. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but I got to watch this show. But you were just like a modern day Diane Sawyer.
Wow. Thanks, Sarah. I mean, Tori too. I became a publicist too. Tori was like, and then did you want to, cause I knew their publicist was actually on. So I'm like, I can't ask. Cause you know, obviously she's on her book tour. So I don't want to ask, I have to ask, you know, about her book mostly. And so, but I knew I had to, you know, obviously for my wind down listeners, like give some Tree Hill topics. And Tori's like, but Lucas, pick me. I have a question. It's too good. I hate that. I hate, you know what I hate from that? Because I just love her so much. I hate that someone can take away happy memories. But here's the interesting thing that I've learned. They can't. But we allow them to. I would sit in therapy and be like, you took, you know, our wedding, you took this, you took that. And it's like, my therapist is like, he didn't take any of it from you. And I'm like, what? Yes, he did. Because he did blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no. You're allowing him to take, like, that's still your memory. And you, like, that's your memory that was still yours. And he can't take that from you. And he can maybe hurt the memory, you know, by you being sad, but he can't take those memories from you. So it's interesting the control that we let someone have when it's our memories.
And I feel like that goes with like everything. Like, even now, it's like, it's like positive vibes and like positive mantras with like everything going on. And I'm like, I'm not going to let this day, I'm not going to watch the news for 12 hours. I'm not going to let this day like suck the life out of me. I'm going to, you know, change my mindset and put out positive vibes and just go into each day with a different mindset, because it's like, you're right. We let things change and be taken from us. If we can just kind of train our mind or our, you know, soul, whatever you want to go into, to just letting go and not holding on to it, I feel like then it's like, okay, I'm at peace with it. Mm-hmm. And I can.
Sure. It's almost like quarantine is the bad boyfriend, and we're not going to let the bad boyfriend take our memories of every day.
1,000. And I read the funniest thing the other day. I don't know. I feel like it's all just like popping up because like you guys did that, like, does your ex text you? And then this other thing popped up that was like, don't, like, whenever you're having a bad day, just remember someone's quarantined with your ex. And I literally die.
So good. I saw another thing going around too about Kat and Nat posted something that was really funny, and it is basically like what your husband can say from terrible to okay to good to the best answer. And it was like, geez, honey, you wearing sweatpants again? And then like he can say instead, say, wow, I really like those sweatpants on you. Or here, baby, like have some flowers. You look, you know, beautiful. And the next one, I'm like on the right side, the right answer was like, here, honey, have some wine. Like that was the number one thing to say. Like, you've worked hard today. Here's some wine.
I've seen the funniest videos of like all the moms like pouring their wine to like music, and like Molly Sims has really funny mom content out there that was making me laugh.
Oh yeah, she was really funny. But no, back to Hillary. She's awesome. Love her, and make sure you guys get the Rural Diaries out May 5th. Let's take a break. Okay, you guys ready to do some emails?
Yep, let's hit it.
Sarah, I'm really glad you're on this one. From Carly, my boyfriend won't propose.
Oh, perfect! Sorry, my coffee machine's going. I don't know if you can hear it.
I have an amazing boyfriend of 3 years. I am 23 and he is 24. I'm ready to get married, but he still wants to wait for at least a year or two. I feel as though I'm getting to the point of just being tired of wanting something so bad, but him not having any interest. I'm very old-fashioned and want to be married before moving in together, but he always says how he can't wait to live together and come home to me and all these sweet things, but he won't make that commitment and propose. He says it's just because he wants to wait until it's the perfect timing for us. Any advice on how to get through to him or how to stay sane? I just worry I won't be able to hope for a day that might not come. Thoughts. Sarah?
Oh my God, I have so much PTSD. I just like can't. I know this is like my DMs all the time. And I just feel so bad because it's like, I don't like, no one ever gave me the perfect advice, right? Because everyone's different. Every guy's different. Every girl's different. All I can say is that 23 is young. And I always knew I had in my mind, okay, I'm not ready. But once I knew I was ready, I was like, okay, I'm hitting my point of not being able to justify or understand your reason for waiting. Now we live together, so that's different. But I just don't think you can, hello, I gave an ultimatum. It didn't work. So I'm not going to sit here and say that. I just don't think you can force someone. And I don't think you want to force someone. Mm-mm. I think that, I don't know what their relationship is. Obviously, Ty knew how I felt inside and out. He knew exactly what I thought and how I was feeling. But I think that, look, in your heart, you know, right? Like your gut, you know everything. I knew I was going to have to wait longer than I wanted if we were going to get married. I knew he was going to do it, but I knew it wasn't going to be on my time. And so I feel like that's all. You just have to listen to your gut. Like, is this guy worth it? Do you get a feeling that he really means it? Or do you think he's stringing you along? And in your heart, you know what you have to do, but.
Yeah. And I want to say, okay, you know, you're 23, you're young, you know, he just wants to wait another year. But I feel like, I feel bad saying that because I'm sure she's like, don't say I'm young. Because I look at my friend Julie and she's 24 and she's married with a kid, you know, or she's married and pregnant. So it's like, and my first instinct was to say, oh, you're young. But, you know, if I had it that way, I probably would have wanted to younger anyways, because I always wanted to be a young mom. So I feel guilty saying, oh, you're young. Like, just wait, because that is my first reaction, you know, being 36 years old and being like, you're young. But
totally get it. That's why I hate giving people advice, because it's like, everyone's different. Every guy has a different reason. Every girl, like Ty and I both knew we wanted to have kids. So that was like our main, like, I knew we were going to meet up eventually because I knew that we both wanted that.
Sure. And I would just say to Carly, hey, you know, if you get to your point, like Sarah said, where you'd rather not be with him and move on, then that's when you know that you're ready to walk away.
Once it starts affecting like your mood, mm-hmm. and like you wake up angry every day, that's not good, because that's just not good.
Okay, so what, because I'm 25, so I feel like my group is saying, well, if our next step is to move in together versus get married. But does that hurt your relationship or help your relationship? Or what if he says, I'm not going to propose to you, but we can move in together?
If she's old fashioned, no, that's almost like if Sarah was to have a baby before getting married. Like, that's not what she wanted, you know? And so it's, I think if she should respect him, he should respect her wishes. So if you don't want to move in right away, then wait a year to get engaged. Almost as like you guys are like meeting halfway.
I looked at that as like a plus. I was happy when Ty's like, let's move in. I was like, I'll take it. Because at that point, it had been 5 years. So I'm like, I'll take a move in. But if you've been together with someone for a year and then they ask you to move in, sometimes that can prolong it. So I don't know.
All right. It's from C, how to get through it. My husband and I have been together for over 5 years, married for almost 2. We recently found out we were expecting our first as well. Since the beginning of our relationship, my husband has had problems with dating apps. The first 2 years, he acted out and cheated on me. Things stopped while we were engaged and the beginning of our marriage until recently. A girlfriend of mine found him on a dating app. I confronted him. He's finally getting some counseling that he truly needs. My question is, Jana, how do you sit there and be so mad at him but want to hug Mike at the same time? How do you get through the thoughts of maybe I'm not good enough for him? Sarah? I mean, I don't know how to answer this. It's hard when you can have empathy for someone that's going through a hard time. Like, I have empathy for the things that Mike struggles with. So I want to embrace him. And when he shares some of his struggles with me, I embrace him. Even though it might hurt and might trigger me, I still I would still want to, you know, be there for him. But it's hard. It's so hard because you're still angry at their actions. And then how do you get through the thoughts of maybe I'm not good enough? Those thoughts have stayed with me probably. It's been almost 3.5 years since discovery, for the past 3 years. I finally hit my mark about probably, it was January this year, where I finally was like, you know what? It's not because I don't have big enough boobs. It's not because of this. It's not because of that. It's not me that's not good enough. He believes something in himself that he doesn't think is good enough. So I now can have empathy for that, but I don't beat myself up anymore. Like, man, if I would have just dressed up a little bit more, if I would have, you know, had bigger boobs. Sometimes, you know, would I like perkier boobs than what I have? Sure. But it's not the reason why he stepped out. It's just not. But it's hard. That took me over 3 years to even think that, or get to like finally get to that place. So, I mean,
that's hard for people to, once they finally realize it, because for so long, yeah. I mean, even if there is no issues, everyone's insecure, but for you, what? It's not my fault. I didn't cause this. I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Is, I feel like, a big step for someone.
All right. So if you guys have any emails, of course, email us, or you can DM me at the Wind Down Podcast, which we're currently, you like how it's just
love what you're doing over right there.
Well, I mean, the nanny lost her job, so I had to give her a
side hustle.
So she's been, I still go on there. Me and Mike still go on there, and we look at the DMs, and we're pulling some DMs from there to answer and stuff. And she's killing it.
It's like a good, it's got a good like
go effect. Kylie go. I know. Yeah, she's absolutely impressed. Killing it.
I know. But Sarah, Tori, thanks for joining us on an all girls wind down Zoom quarantine session. Girls,
next time we need wine.
Yeah. Seriously. All right, girls, I love you. And to everyone out there, stay safe, stay healthy, and 6 feet apart, I guess. All right. Bye.